Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi there, and welcome once again to the Explaining History podcast. And today we're going to talk about Mussolini's invasion of Greece during 1940. On the 28th of October 1940, Mussolini invaded Greece and Albania with 162,000 troops. Hitler had no idea what Mussolini had planned. Nor did Marshal Graziani, the commander of his forces in North Africa, have any prior knowledge, and found out only when listening to radio broadcasts from Rome. Mussolini took one of the most impulsive and poorly thought through decisions of the war. And it was really a response to Hitler's successes throughout 1940. Not only had Hitler been successful in Western Europe, but also Hitler had seized Romania to take control of the Ploesti oil fields, which were going to be the Third Reich's lifeline until oil in the Middle East or Russia was accessed. And it was this that incensed Mussolini into action. In order to understand this impulsiveness, you need to kind of look at the founding ideas of Italian fascism. Italian fascism was about the notion, the kind of the fascistic notion of constant action and dynamism, that a strong leader, a strong charismatic leader in the guise of the Duce, was able to interpret the national will and guide the nation in the direction that would benefit it and take it back to notions of glory and national pride and the recreation of some sort of approximation of the Roman Empire. All these ideas sit very uneasily with the business of modern government and modern warfare, which is often a painstaking, slow and gradual process or set of processes, and something that can't be rushed and needs to be thought through. If you look at the example of the British and the Americans, after 1940, the British prepare for a long war. The British have really always done this. The First World War, the Napoleonic Wars are classic examples of that, and the United States followed Britain's lead initially and thought that a war of attrition against the Axis powers would be the way to go about things, though admittedly some of Roosevelt's generals by 1942-43 were convinced that a speedy cross-channel invasion and a head-on collision with Hitler's armies was the only way to really do things. This was probably always likely to result in disaster, and Churchill and Alan Brooke and the other British chiefs of staff convinced the Americans that this was not the way the war should be waged, and thus focused on the Mediterranean strategy. However, the point remains that Italian fascism was ironically uniquely unsuited to waging war. And I say ironically because it was inherently a warlike ideology. and the idea that war was beneficial, that war socially separated the wheat from the chaff, that war would transform the rabble and the riffraff that Mussolini saw Italians as being into a keen, hard, martial people who were able to withstand hardships. These were all the transformative things that Mussolini thought war would bring. And yet Mussolini also thought that war was a kind of a case of opportunism, and that simply managing to seize as much territory as quickly as possible before Britain collapsed, and B, appearing to be as grand, if not more grandiose than Hitler, were the kind of the ideal approaches to warfare. Mussolini was incensed because Hitler's seizure of Romania was an intrusion into what Mussolini considered to be Italy's sphere of influence. And the decision to seize Albania and Greece was almost directed at Berlin. It was a way of showing Hitler that Hitler was not the only fascist in Europe who could act unilaterally, and that Mussolini could make spontaneous decisions if he chose as well. One of the more childish reasons for launching the invasion, admittedly. The British and the Greeks had, since the Treaty of Versailles, had close relations, and Mussolini eyed these with suspicion, alleging that Greece was a base of support for Britain in the Mediterranean and therefore a threat to the Axis powers. This was largely nonsense. The Greeks were a small and relatively impoverished nation, unable to offer a serious role in the war, not against powers like Italy and Germany anyway. And what support the British had given to Greece was fairly limited, fairly thin on the ground. It was therefore assumed by Mussolini that a campaign against Greece would be a walkover. He saw the acquisition of Greece as being simple, straightforward, rapid, and one which would not present Italy with any significant problems. Of course, it's hubris like this that always ends in downfall. And Mussolini even set aside millions of lira in order to offer bribes to Greek politicians in order to gain their acquiescence to a surrender. Though how much of this ever reached them is a moot point. There was virtually no understanding of the problems that Greece's often mountainous terrain would present to Italy and the complexities of securing all of Greece's islands. There was also no understanding of the strength of Greek nationalism and the possibilities that Greece would fight a partisan war against Italy that would be extremely effective, and indeed they did, and indeed it was. Greece managed to mobilise during the invasion nearly 210,000 troops, and the dictator of Greece, Ioannis Metaxas, who had been a deeply unpopular figure, who had overthrown the Greek Parliament in 1936 using emergency powers granted to him by King George II of Greece, and declaring a state of emergency mainly to suspend civil liberties and to deal with what was seen as the threat of the communists. The communists were have a party with growing popularity who hung the balance of power in Parliament. And Metaxas was this divisive national leader who created the divisions in Greece that would explode into civil war from about 1944 onwards and not really be resolved until the end of the 1940s. He managed, as a result of the invasion, to become a figure of national unity and became a rallying figure for the anti-Italian effort. Not only did the Greek army manage to defeat the Italian invasion within weeks. But by November 1940, the Greek army had invaded Albania, Albania being Italy's puppet state in the Balkans, and one that had now been fully garrisoned by Italian troops. They invaded Albania, and the general in command in Albania, Ubaldo Sodu, quickly asked for an armistice with the Greeks. Now, how can all of this be explained? How is it possible that a much smaller, economically weaker country like Greece was able to humiliate Italy in this manner? Well, firstly, this is the second campaign of the war for Italy, the first not being concluded in North Africa. It showed that Italy wasn't really capable of sustaining two campaigns at once in the way that Germany would have been able to. The reality was that Italy was very poorly prepared to go to war. Evidence actually suggests that economically Germany was as well, but to no way to the extent that Italy was. And Italy had exhausted a lot of its economic and military energies during the 1930s in campaigns in Spain and Abyssinia. So this was the fourth or fifth year of Italian campaigning in and around the Mediterranean and North Africa, whereas this was the first campaign for the Greeks. Add to this the lack of planning by Italy, Italian lack of any sort of competence coming from Mussolini, and the impulsiveness of the decision to invade, and you have the recipe for disaster. It is highly likely that Italian troops, poorly supplied and equipped and fed and paid, simply saw their morale crumbling. Zorhatso, the case that many Italian soldiers had little idea as to what the point of an invasion of Greece was. They were poorly motivated, whereas the Greeks, defending their home country and their home soil, were determined to fight on to the end no matter what. Hitler, understandably, was extremely angry with Mussolini. He had, from the moment that he heard about the invasion of Greece and Albania, vigorously opposed it, thought it was a terrible idea, and was increasingly concerned that further Axis attacks across Europe would give Roosevelt in 1940, during the presidential election year, which was concluding in November, just about at about this time, even more ammunition to challenge Wendell Willkie, the non-interventionist, isolationist candidate. And obviously Roosevelt wins the presidential election that year.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tense words are passed between Berlin and Rome. Hitler said that it would have been a better idea to seize Crete beforehand, as Crete was going to be an important resupply base for a British counterattack and a British intervention in Greece. Mussolini said that really the results have been down to poor weather conditions, the idea that Greece is simply a land of sea and sun, and clement weather is something of an urban myth. The mountainous interior of Greece can often be freezing cold, particularly obviously in winter time, and Italian troops, of course, were not equipped for this. In order to prove himself to Hitler, Mussolini said that he would now commit a further 30 divisions against Greece, and that there would be a violent ethnic cleansing, that any urban centre over with a population of greater than 10,000 would now be razed to the ground. Obviously, this didn't happen. This was all bluster and talk. And in the coming months, into early 1941, Greek and Italian armies stand off against one another in the Albanian mountains. The winter of 1940-41 is one of the coldest of the 20th century, and the living conditions for both armies were appalling. In Max Hastings' All Hell Let Loose, he quotes Sergeant Diamantis Staphylakis, who wrote in his diary in January 1941, "The door of our shelter will not open because of the snow. The fierce wind drives the snow up against it. Today it is raining again. We are soaked through. There is no chance of lighting a fire because the smoke chokes us. Our nights are spent in excruciating discomfort. So I get up outside and walk around. I tried to build a new shelter and managed to dig down 20 centimetres before the snow began again and I gave up." So these were the kinds of conditions that both armies had to fight in the Albanian mountains. And it's Hitler that breaks the deadlock. Hitler is frustrated that there is no prospect of Italy defeating Greece single-handedly. And therefore Hitler decides that it is necessary for Germany to intervene. It's necessary for Germany to intervene, firstly, because the Axis powers cannot seem to be defeated by Greece. And secondly, Greece, now as a combatant power against the Axis forces, can become a foothold for Great Britain. And this was increasingly likely. On the 13th of December of 1940, Hitler issued Directive No. 20, which called for Operation Marita. And in the directive it read, "In the light of the threatening situation in Albania, it is doubly important to frustrate English efforts to establish, behind the protection of a Balkan front, an air base which would threaten Italy, and incidentally, the Romanian oil fields." So it's interesting that we come back to the question of the Romanian oil fields. The seizure of these oil fields and the kind of the occupation of Romania by Germany was the trigger point for Mussolini. And through Mussolini's own foolishness, he had now created the conditions whereby the British could occupy Greece or land an army there to support Greece, and then build air bases that would threaten the very oil fields that Hitler had sought to protect. These oil fields, incidentally, would be bombed long range by the British and the Americans flying from Egypt later on in the war, and their devastation would lead to a fuel crisis throughout the German Empire, the Nazi Empire. Germany's de facto occupation of Romania had begun with the installation of Ion Antonescu as the Prime Minister, the Romanian General, on the 12th of October 1940. Now, I did do a podcast 2 years ago on Romania during the Second World War and Romania and the Holocaust, in which Antonescu is mentioned. It's really worth having a listen to, if I do say so myself, and it'll give you a lot of background on the relationship between Germany and Romania. The Romanians saw themselves, unfortunately, hitched to the Third Reich, knowing that their neighbour to the east, the Soviet Union, that had its eyes on Bukovina and Bessarabia, which had been given to Romania by the Paris Peace Conference These makers in 1919, at the expense of the Russian Empire, were greedily eyeing these territories back. In March 1941, Bulgaria joined the Axis. This was 2 months after Metaxas himself had suddenly died. He died on the 29th of January 1941. And the general mood in Italy was one of national humiliation, that the speedy victory that would have given Italy resources and national glory in Greece and Albania that had been promised fails to materialise, again from Hastings. A police informant in Milan wrote, "Many, many pessimists see Italy as a protectorate of Germany and conclude that if we endured three wars, the severe losses of the navy, the sacrifice of our raw materials and gold reserves, in order to achieve the loss of our political, economic and military independence, there is nothing to be proud of about the policies followed." And of course, the war and the diversion of resources away to the Greek and Albanian front and to North Africa meant that food became more scarce in Italy. It led to food price inflation and rationing cuts. And so this meant that the already shaky desire for war in Italy went into nosedive following the humiliations of 1940-41. And the ease with which the Germans eventually do defeat and indeed devastate Greece simply presents the Italians with the truth that they are always bit players in Hitler's war. The Yugoslavs, during a palace coup in March 1941, wind up very briefly with a pro-British regime. The response from Germany is the committing of 36 divisions to Yugoslavia, sweeping away the Yugoslav army on the 6th of April. Bombers attack Belgrade in a devastating aerial bombardment, which far eclipses anything that was meted out in one attack on a British city. Some 17,000 people were killed in the bombing. Something really which is more akin to the death toll from the aerial bombing on Stalingrad. The British began to land the forces which Churchill had diverted from North Africa, mainly Australia and New Zealand, and they began to land those forces in Greece. The catastrophe that Churchill was about to bring about was, again, an interesting kind of mirror to the impulsiveness of Mussolini. British operations in North Africa had gone extremely well up until this point. British supply lines in North Africa were stretched very far. One of the problems with waging war up and down the thin strip of land between the Mediterranean Sea and the beginnings of the Sahara Desert was one of supply lines. When one army became overstretched, it had to withdraw, and another army, coiled like a spring, would push it back. The German army landing in Libya was ideally designed to do this, and particularly when Churchill stripped out 56,000 of the best fighting men from the British army that was marching from Egypt. This made a collapse in North Africa almost inevitable, and by mid-1941 the German army is marching on Alexandria. This decision also put a lot of pressure on internal British imperial politics. It was not really the place of Churchill to decide where Australian, New Zealand or other Dominion soldiers were deployed. It was the place of Dominion governments, which were part of the British Empire and had the Queen as the head of state, but had almost exclusive self-determination in terms of foreign and military policy and every other significant area of public life. Churchill ignored this for the most part, and in 1940 to 41, the ministers of Australia and New Zealand, and also Canada to some extent, dug their heels in and demanded that their constitutional rights be respected. Australian Prime Minister Robert Menzies attended in 1941, on the 24th of February, the War Cabinet, where the decision to deploy Australian troops was taken. However, the scale of risk was played down, and the speed with which a likely victory was obtainable was played up. And this gave Robert Menzies a misleading impression of what was likely the likely outcome in the theatre. New Zealand was treated with even less regard and respect. New Zealand troops had been in Greece since December 1941, and it was weeks following their deployment that the New Zealand government was actually told where their men were. And given the fact that the British Commonwealth or British Empire landings in Greece were to be some of the biggest disasters for Britain during the Second World War, and some of the highest risk operations, even had they been successful, there would have been immense casualties and risk involved. It soured British imperial relations permanently thereafter. And there was a permanent sense, justifiably, of resentment towards Great Britain that Australian and New Zealand lives were seen as less valuable than British ones and more expendable. Anyway, we're going to continue on this theme and look at the fall of Greece and how Britain attempted in vain to defend Crete. And this will be the subject of a forthcoming podcast. But anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this, and we're coming out of the lean period now. There's been a bit of a kind of a dearth of recordings recently, just generally due to kind of having to work for a living and all that sort of business. But hey, it's half term. I've got a fortnight, so expect your iTunes to be full of new content. Anyway. Speak to you soon, and always come say hi at the Explaining History Facebook page. Give us a comment. It's great to hear from listeners. And if you can, give us a good write-up on iTunes. That would be very, very gratefully received. Thank you. Bye-bye.